Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Good morning. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for all the wonderful things that you've given us. Thank you for your word. And thank you for this assembly we have this morning. All this in the prayer of Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so continue on with what we've been talking about all along. Before we do, though, we've got to continue discussing what's going on in the world. And last week, we talked a little bit about what was going on the Palestinian side. This time, I want to talk a little bit about what's going on the Israeli side, but we've got to have both sides of the story to come up with a good to understand what's truly going on. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. A lot of news media, it's all one-sided. They don't give both sides of the story. It's all one-sided. They're trying to push their agenda. Sometimes it takes until the agenda's in effect for some people to figure out what's truly going on. But we're going to help you with that a little bit. All right. So, first of all, let's just we want to cut out some of the minutia that the news media has been spreading about Israel and all that stuff. Okay. A lot of people don't know this. A lot of people don't realize this. And I know for a fact Israel don't propagate this information out there. There's like 2 million Muslims living inside the country of Israel right now, which is substantially more than what was there when Israel was founded. There are 2 million Muslims living in Israel. And they get along just fine. They work together. Matter of fact, there's, I think, 7 Muslims inside Israel's parliament. There's many, many Muslims, Arab Muslims, that are inside the military, the police force, the schools, the whole 9 yards. There's a lot of Muslims there. They get along really, really well. There's no issues there. Okay? So it seems to me that the issue that the media is trying to push is this Muslim against Jew narrative, and that's just what they're trying to push us. But that's not the case. Again, there's many, many Muslims living inside of Israel. The Muslims that are living in Israel have no problem with the Jews, and the Jews have no problem with the Muslims that are living there. For the most part, Israel is a secular society, just like the U.S. is, or any other country. They get along just fine until somebody does something, and then it's targeted against that one individual, not against a group of people. Okay? So you got this whole narrative out there trying to make this a Muslim and Jewish thing. It's not. Okay? You got terrorists against the country. And this terrorist group has been around forever. And they used to be called the PLO. But, you know, I'm not getting into that. We didn't discuss this whole mess a couple weeks ago. But, just understand that you can't believe everything you read or hear and what they talk about on TV. You got to come to your own conclusion. You got to do your own research into these things. Don't believe what everybody tells you. Now, with that being said, you remember a couple weeks ago, I mentioned something about this guy named Albert Pike and what he said, how World War III was going to come about. And if you pay attention to the news, what they're saying on the news, that's exactly what they're doing. They're propagating this Muslim against Jew thing, and it's what World War III was supposedly about, or going to be about. Now today, and I'm going to give you two scenarios, which I think is highly probable, certainly possible, but even highly probable. But I'm going to base my information before I tell you, I'm going to base all this information off of Scripture. If you got a pencil and piece of paper, I'll give you the scripture where I'm getting it from, and that way you can go back and do your own research, because I don't want nobody to take my word for anything. Use a good book. So we're going to be getting our information out of Isaiah 17, Daniel 9, Isaiah 28, Revelation 6, Psalms 21, Psalms 2, and Ezekiel 38. All this is talking about a couple of different events there, but they all culminate. They all culminate with Ezekiel 38. And the reason I bring up Ezekiel 38 is not because I think that this has anything to do with Ezekiel 38, because I absolutely don't. But it culminates into Ezekiel 38. So if you hear, I can't count how many times I've heard people say this is the start of, you know, the prophecy in Ezekiel 38. God make our war. No, it's not. It's not. That's what they're trying to push for. That's what the news media is pushing for. That's what they're trying to get out there. But that's not what's going to happen. I'm going to give you two scenarios, which I think, and if you listen to this and you pay attention to it over the course of the next few months, maybe even a year, you'll see a good portion of what I'm going to say from the fruition. I'm certain of that because it's written right here. So you got one scenario, and let me give you a little background on this so you can understand a little better. Right now in Syria, you've got Iranian-backed forces, some say even Iranian forces there. You've got Russian forces there. You've got some Chinese-backed forces there. You've got United States forces there. And for the most part, you've got UN forces there. And by the way, let's not forget that all the countries I've mentioned are part of the UN and are part of the UN Security Council. So just throwing that out there. You got Jehu that's from the state of Kentucky up there saying that, you know, we got the access of evil of China, Iran, and Russia right now, which I think is a bad move to even be saying something like that. But it is what it is. It's already done. But that just goes to show you that they're trying to propagate something. Yeah. But nonetheless, Syria, country of Syria, has a stockpile. Now, I shouldn't say a stockpile, but they do have chemical weapons. Yeah. We know they got chemical weapons there because they used them on their own people. And how much they got there, I don't have a clue. I'm not going to profess to know that. But they do have some there because they have used them on their own people. And let's just give a scenario here, because we're going with what the news media is saying. They're propagating this stuff, and ultimately it puts ideas in people's heads. Let's say that either Syria or one of these terrorist groups that is operating in and around and out of Syria gets a hold of some of these chemical weapons. They launch them in a missile, put them in a missile, and launch them at Israel. It's not a real hard thing to see that Israel will take drastic actions against where those chemical weapons came from. In fact, one of the things that we're talking about here is that very thing. We don't mention chemical weapons, obviously, but it talks about the destruction of Damascus. And, for the most part, the destruction of Israel, all at the same time. The difference is, there's absolutely nothing left in Damascus, which is in Syria, by the way. It's got some people that are not just a date on where certain places are. So that's one scenario. Another scenario is still something else that they're propagating. They're pushing. They're pushing this Jewish-Muslim war. And we talked a little bit about the Mahdi and, you know, talking about the Mahdi. You know, we got one. The Shia one coming from Iran and the Sunni one coming from Turkey, and them two getting together and fighting it out and all this stuff. Well, they still can bring up this war, propagate this war between the Muslims and the Israelis, and then like they tell from the past, and the whole big mess there. The point behind it is, neither one of those scenarios, neither one of those scenarios actually brings on the God and the God war. That takes a little bit more time. That's toward the very end. Yeah. That would be for Israel alone was fighting all this stuff. Because remember, it says all the nations. All means all. All the nations are against Israel. All the nations are in the battle of Megiddo. All the nations. So they're long man standing there. People don't realize that. They don't understand what words really mean. All means all. Which means us as well. All means all. That doesn't mean that all people do, but all the nations. So, again, you get all this information from the scripture that I told. I'm not going to be able to bounce. I'm not going to bounce back and forth. I don't think we have enough time. It would take entirely too long to do all that. But I'm going to read Daniel 17. I mean, I think it's 17. Isaiah 17. We'll talk about it a little bit. I highly recommend that you go back and we get some more people that's popped up. I'll give these scriptures that I'm going to be reading from or talking about. I'll give these scriptures one more time. That way you can go back, do your own research, and come to your own thing. again, we're going to be reading from Daniel, Isaiah 17. And then we're going to be referencing Daniel 9, Isaiah 28, Revelation 6, Isaiah 28 again, Psalms 21, and Psalms 2. And all this has been culminated in Ezekiel 38. Okay? So, again, don't necessarily believe everything you read and see and hear on the news. Go back, because we are at the end times. Okay? Remember this. And when I read Daniel 17, I see the fourth seal. Okay? Daniel 17 to me is the fourth seal. Matter of fact, just real quick, we'll go to Revelation 6. And I'll read you what the fourth seal is. It's so Daniel 6, verse 7. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death and Hell, or Hades and somebody, followed with him. And power was given unto them over a fourth part of the earth. In other words, 25% of the world population can die at this point. What are they saying? 25%. That's a lot of people. We got 9 billion, going to be billion people here. So you're looking for almost just shy of 2 billion people come die. 1.5, 1.7, something like that, billion people is going to die from this one seal. A lot of people don't see that stuff whenever they read that, but that's literally what it's saying. 25% of the earth population is going to die. Excuse me. To kill with a sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. And, by the way, this is where it says the beasts of the earth. That don't necessarily mean, you know, lions and tigers and bears, don't mind. It could literally be viruses, bacteria, things of that nature as well, because it's a living creature, and that's what the Bible calls all the living creatures. They call them beasts. Okay? So just keep that in the back of your mind as well. It could literally be another pandemic. I thought not another pandemic, but a real pandemic. So, because what happens whenever there's a lot of war, whenever there's no water and things, so clean water and things of that nature, you get cholera and Ebola and all kinds of other diseases that the folks around like that. Okay? And on top of that, if you just know anything about history and world history and wars in general, the vast majority of people that die in war do not die from bullets. They die from diseases. You know, the cholera, you know, the infections, gangrene, and things of that nature. That's what they die more of than anything. So I'll just keep that in mind. So now let's go ahead and go to, and if we have time, I'll go back and read these other ones as well. But that's what I see for 17 of Isaiah. I see that being the fourth seal. Okay? Now, once we get into it and read it a little bit better, you'll understand why I see it that way. Right. The burden of Damascus. Behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city. and it shall be a ruinous heap. The cities of Arawak are forsaken. They shall be for flocks which shall lie down, and none shall make them afraid. The fortress also shall cease from Ephraim, and in the kingdom from Damascus and the remnants of Syria. They shall be in the glory of the children of Israel, saith the Lord of hosts. In that day it shall come to pass that the glory of Jacob shall be made thin, and the fatness of his flesh shall wax lean. And it shall be as when the harvestmen gather the corn. Let me stop right there because a lot of people have a hard time with this one. Okay. In the King James Bible, which was written, initially translated in the 1600s, corn is grain. Okay. Even to this day, corn is grain. Every country in the world calls grain corn. It's a generic word for grain. They call it corn. What we call corn in the U.S. is called, literally called maize. So don't get confused about what our modern vernacular calls corn, okay? And reapeth the ears with his arm, and it shall be as in as he that gathereth ears in the valley of Rephaim. Yet gleaning grapes shall be left in it, and so in it as the shaking of an olive tree, two or three berries in the top of the uppermost burrow, four or five in the outermost fruit branches. Therefore, saith the Lord of Israel. And that day, shall man look to his maker, and his eyes shall have respect to the Holy One of Israel. And he shall not look the altars, the works of his hands, neither shall respect that which his fingers have made, either the groves or images. In that day shall his strong cities be a forsaken borough, and as uppermost branch, which they left because of the children of Israel, and there shall be desolation. Because thou hast forgotten the God of thy salvation, and hast not been mindful of the rock of thy strength, therefore shall no plant, pleasant plants, and shall sit it with strange lips. In the day shalt thou make thy plant to grow, and in the morning shalt thou make thy seed to flourish. But the harvest shall be a heap in the day of grief, in a desperate sorrow. Woe to the multitude of many people, which make a noise like the noise of the sea, and to the rushing of nations, that make a rushing like the rushing of mighty waters. The nations shall rush like the rushing of many waters, and God shall rebuke them, and they shall flee far off, shall be chased as the chaff of the mountain before the wind, and like the rolling thing of the whirlwind. And behold, at eventide trouble, and before the morning is not. This is the fortune of them that spoil us, and the lot of them that rob us. Okay. So, you know, let's break this down and talk about it a little bit. Okay. So, first of all, it's telling, the first thing that you see there is the destruction of the masses. Okay. And by the way, that has not happened yet. Okay. Damascus has been lived in for some 5,000 years or so. And lived in right now. But it says there will be nothing there. Total ruinous heap. So this has not happened yet, compared to what a lot of people say. This has not happened yet. This is in the future. How far in the future, we don't know. But what's going on today in Israel propagate will.
Absolutely, yes.
I think in the grand scheme of things, it actually will propagate this.
Yeah.
And it also talks about how Israel is just brought down to its knees as well. You know, the way I see it, whenever I read this, and take on the study, particularly in light of other scriptures, what I see it is something Syria does to Israel, or I shouldn't say Syria does, something that gets blamed on Syria, whether they're the ones that do it or not. But you know how things can happen in this world today. They can make it look like somebody said or did something when they didn't have a part in it. But I'm using chemicals as an example because you know that they do have some chemicals there. And it's not beyond the leader of Syria to actually use those weapons. And he, for the most part, doesn't have a big love affair with Israel anyway. So it's not beyond him to load up a couple of missiles, hang them, you know, at Tel Aviv or Jerusalem or any other major city there, and then destroy those cities and kill a multitude of people. And, by the way, those chemical weapons, whenever they land there, they're going to make the waterfowl. They're going to kill a lot of plants and animals as well. It's going to make things not so hospitable. And I'm going with chemical weapons. They're very, very easily to be biological weapons. Okay? I would hope that in this world, the people would be smart enough not to mess around with biological weapons. But we just experienced something for that took the world down where people were playing with biological weapons. I digress on that point. But whenever, and this is just a scenario, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it's very well could. Let's say that they do use chemical weapons. They drop on them and it's going to cause total chaos and havoc in Israel. They wouldn't have absolutely no choice but to retaliate. They wouldn't have much other choice than to retaliate. And they deemed that Damascus was where those missiles came out of. Then, yeah, they would absolutely make that a ruinous heap. And, by the way, throwing this out there, I'm not saying that they would, and I'm not trying to put ideas in people's minds, but Israel has nuclear weapons. And I can't think of nothing that would make that place a faster ruin to see than dropping a nuke on it. And that's, you know, whenever they kill several million of their people, which is what a chemical or biological weapon would do, they would kill several million of their people, I don't think that they're beyond dropping a nuke on it. And if you keep on reading there, it says all the nations get up in an uproar. They start raising pain and all this other stuff. So why are the nations in an uproar? Because Israel retaliated. They fought back. They made the masters of ruins. And, by the way, again, this is just a scenario. What was happening whenever they did that? Well, for sure, all the Arab countries around there would take that as Israel fighting against Muslims, just because that's the way they think. And all those Muslim countries that are surrounding Israel will get up in an uproar. And on top of that, What better way would there be to bring in the New World Order? Because remember, one of the things that comes out of all this mess is the Antichrist, you know. And one of the things that has to happen right as he's coming on the scene, remember they said peace and safety, you know, the world is saying peace and safety. You know, you don't hear that being said very much right now. That's, again, I said this a long time ago, you got to have a war to bring on peace and safety. Again, I'm not saying all this stuff is going to happen. Well, I mean, I will obviously what's written right here in the Bible is going to happen, but my scenario, I'm just giving you scenarios. But all these people get into a great big fight over there, and then they're all against Israel. And, by the way, you got the covenant with the many. You remember that in Daniel 9? The covenant with the many. And then, you remember in Isaiah 28, it talks about the covenant with death and Sheol that Israel makes. Okay? Now, whether those are the same covenant or two separate covenants, no time to tell. But it will seem to me, based off of the stuff that we're seeing, that it would be the same covenant. The covenant with the many, which would be the one world order. And then coming out of that one world order, they would come up and make some kind of peace arrangement with Israel and all the neighboring countries. And that's where they're making their covenant with death and Sheol, or death and hell, or death and Hades, however you want to say it. And Daniel says Sheol. But just put all those things together and seeing a little bit of what I'm talking about here. And to give you some reference points, I'm not going to read Daniel 10 and 9. I'll go that. Maybe that was a later. But let's go to Psalm 2. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to let y'all read the whole thing after the fact so that you get a better understanding. But remember, you just read these things, and I'll point them out to you again. But in Psalm 2, it says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine of vain things? The kings of the earth set themselves, rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointing, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Okay? Go back. Where was that? In Isaiah, woe to the multitude of the many people, which make the noise like the noise of the seas and the rushing of the nations, that make the rushing like the rushing of mighty waters. The nations shall rush like the rushing of many waters, but God shall rebuke them, and they shall flee far off, and shall be chased off the chaff of the mountains before the wind, and like a rolling thing before the whirlwind. And it sounds like the exact same thing, don't it? And let's go to Psalms 21. Well, I'm gonna read this whole psalm right now. The king shall join in the strength of the Lord, and in thy salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart and desire, and hast not fulfilled the request of his lips. For thou hast prevented them with the blessings of goodness, and thou hast set us the crown of pure gold on his head. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it to him, even length of days, forever and ever. Glory is great in thy salvation, honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him, for thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made them exceedingly glad with thy countenance. For the king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High he shall not be moved. Thy hand shall find out all thine enemies, thy right hand shall find those that find out those who hate thee. Thou shalt make them as fiery oven in the time of thine anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and in the fire shall devour them. Their fruit shall thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. For they intended evil against thee. They imagine mischievous devices which they are not able to perform. Therefore, shalt thou make them turn their back, and they shall make ready thine arrows upon thy strings against the face of them. Be thou exalted, Lord, in thy time, on strength, so we shall sing and praise thy power. And that is where I was talking about the brings in, you know, the Israel thing, the maybe the Syria thing starting to fight against them, and it goes back into the, you know, a couple of minutes. Let's go ahead and go to Isaiah 28. Put all this in the context. Not a very eloquent speaker, so. This is actually a very good chapter. I know people's heard it before, but it's actually a very good chapter, and it speaks volumes as to what we're talking about today here as well. Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glory and beauty is fading, is a fading fire, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and strong one, which as the tempest of hail and the destroying storm, as the flood of mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down to the earth with thy hand. The crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, shall be trodden under feet, and the glorious beauty which is on the head of the fat valley shall be a fading flower, and as a hasty fruit before the summer, which when he that looketh upon seeth, while if it is yet in the hand, he eateth it up. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory, and for the diadem of beauty, and to the residue of his people, and for the spirit of judgment to him that setteth in judgment, for the strength to him that turned the battle to the gate. But they also have erred through wine, and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of the wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in visions and stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomits and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach out? And whom shall he make understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For the stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people. To whom, he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was upon them, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken, snared, taken. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men, that rule this people which is in Jerusalem, because ye have said, We have made a covenant with death and with hell, and we are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, says the Lord God, that behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. And that's talking about Christ, by the way. Judgment also will I lay to the lion, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lions, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand, when the overflowing scourge shall pass through. Then you shall be trodden down by it. The words, whenever the war comes, they're going to be defeated. From the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you. From the morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night. And it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. For the bed is shorter than that of a man that can stretch himself out on it, and the covering narrower than that he can wrap himself in it. For the Lord shall rise up in the mouth that fears him, and shall be wroth in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Now therefore be ye not mocking, lest your bands be made strong, for I have heard from the Lord God, and hosts of the consumption, even determined upon the whole earth. Give ye ear, and hear my voice, hearken, and hear my speech. Doth the plowman plow all the day to sow? Doth he open and break the clods of his ground? And he hath made plain the face thereof, doth not cast abroad the pitches and scatter the cumin, and cast in the principal wheat and the appointed barley and the rye in their place. For his God doth instruct him in discretion, and doth teach him, for the pitches are not threshed, and the threshing instrument neither is a cartwheel turned upon the cumin. But the pitches are beaten out with a staff, and the cumin with a rod. Great corn is crushed, because he will not ever be threshing it, nor break it with his heel of his cart, nor bruise it with his horseman. This also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent working. So that's basically telling you that Israel is going to be, honestly, I think they're going to be forced into this covenant with death and Sheol. Okay? It's going to bring peace to the area. And we already know that the peace that's going to come out of it's only going to last 3.5 years. At most, it's only going to last 3.5 years. Let's put it that way. At most. But we know from that point on, we know the rest of the story. It's all hard to get to. Because that's what we've all been talking about, you know, for a long time. The problem is, people's had a hard time trying to explain the getting there part. But now, with things starting to change in the world and books being opened up, I remember the book of Daniel, because it closed up to us, and it's now starting to be opened up, and we're starting to be able to understand what the book is actually saying. And when you understand Daniel, it makes all these other prophecies more understandable as well. And again, because it is prophecy, and again, because it is things that are slowly taking shape and slowly happening, it's hard to say exactly how it's going to unfold. That's why I was giving you just a couple of different scenarios. Keep your mind on. Okay. Think about. And again, one thing that you need to understand, and it very well may come about that because they're going after the Jews at this point, and you've got, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing, don't take this the wrong way of what I'm saying, I'm giving you an explanation. But you've got all these preachers on the TV and in the pulpit and on YouTube and on Facebook and everywhere else standing up Israel for good or bad. They're behind them 110% now. And when all this mess starts going in, and if they was to, let's say, use a nuclear weapon on Damascus, that's not going to look very good. And I can see if they was to do something terrible like that, that the whole world, even the ones that are with Israel now, they're going to flip-flop and they're going to be against it. It's not a hard stretch to see that happen. Okay? Particularly a city that's got, you know, a few hundred thousand people in it. Who's to say that Damascus is the only city that they destroyed, by the way? Okay. They can destroy several cities. And they all don't have to be in Damascus, by the way. It says that's what's in the Bible. Okay. They could literally, and I'm not saying it could be a nuclear bomb. I'm just using it as an example. We all know that the vast majority of Israel's weapons are U.S. manufactured. We've got some weapons out there, you know, that could literally destroy a whole city. You know, just we're dropping it in an arrow and not nuclear. They're just conventional weapons. And who's to say it's just one? They could drop several on there. Okay. And, by the way, just throwing this out there, those weapons that are being shot into Damascus, and into Syria, quite literally, could come from a U.S. ship, for example, an aircraft carrier that we've got out there, or a destroyer that we've got out there that are absolutely loaded with those kinds of weapons. And they do it in the defense of Israel. Just something to think about. But getting back to my point, you've got all these people that are standing Israel up. They're behind Israel right now. And everybody's going to turn on Israel. We already know that. Everybody's going to turn on Israel. And being as we Christians are standing up for Israel, and even then, there's going to be quite a few Christians, real Christians, that are still going to be standing up with Israel because of this book right here. Could be where the turning point is where all the people are turning against Christians. It could be based off of this one act. I'm not saying that it will be. It's just another scenario. It's something to think about. And to be honest with you, it's probably not going to be one thing that's going to cause it. It's going to be a multitude of things, you know. You've got Christians that are talking against homosexuality, okay? We all know that the world's turning that direction, okay? Thinking it's okay. You've got people out there, you know, we talk against stealing. You know, you think, you know, they'll shut stores down left and right all over the country because they can't maintain product on their shelves because everybody just rushes in and steals everything off the shelves and they can't do anything about it. Costs money to come here now. We talk against all these things. We talk against all the bad things that people are doing. And, by the way, just throw this out there, a true Christian will also be talking against the Mahdi, which is a false Christ, or very well could be the Antichrist. Okay? So that's why all these things are important to understand and to get a better understanding of. That's why it's crucially important to study your Bible. Study your Bible while you're paying attention to world events. You can also see a lot of this stuff playing out. And I certainly not want to take anything away from the New Testament. But if you want to understand prophecy, how things are going to play out, the vast majority of this stuff is in the Old Testament. The vast majority of it's in the Old Testament. And that's where you get the bulk of the information from. Revelation gives us, I hate to put it this way, but it gives you a Cliff Notes version of what's going to happen whenever you go back to the Old Testament, you get the long version. And you get to be able to pull it out and understand it. But the problem with finding it in the Old Testament is finding it in the Old Testament. It's just scattered from Genesis all the way up to the very end of the Old Testament. And it's all in there. But you got to pull it out, you got to read it. Psalms has a lot of stuff about what fits in. Keep taking place. Most people don't understand that either. They think it's all just a bunch of songs, real nice, pretty words. But it's a lot of prophecy in Psalms, a lot of prophecy in Psalms. Pay attention to all this stuff. You can read Isaiah. Isaiah is a long book. Long book. It takes a long time to read. It's like reading a real book. Honestly, I do a book. It's complicated. You got to think about it. You got to study it. It has a lot of information, a lot of crucial information in Isaiah. And it's amazing because Isaiah was written like 600 years before Christ. So keep all that stuff in mind. I think that's one of the quotes that passed on. But not on time, actually. We'll go ahead and stop there, but I'll give you the places that I got my information from today, where I at least got my feel for what I think is going to happen over the next few months, maybe a year and a half, something like that. And then when you start putting all these things together, the things that we've talked about in the past and how, the Antichrist and from that point on, I think it's going to happen. You get a better understanding also of what's going on. Again, it's in Isaiah 17, what we just read. Isaiah 28, what we just read. Daniel 9. Revelation 6. Psalms 21 and Psalms 2. And again, it all culminates because Ezekiel 38 is not as a big point. That's more towards the end. So that's where Ezekiel 38 comes into play. Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and close there, and Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for everything, Fathers. Thank you for your time. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful things that you've given us each day. We thank you for having each day. We pray that you'll be with all the people that are being killed in your name, martyred in your name. Pray that you'll be with all the little babies that are being murdered. We pray that you'll give us the strength, understanding, and capacity to go out and preach your word, to spread your word, and to enlighten people in you. We pray that you'll help us to bring more people to the fold and to give them understanding of what is coming and what their future holds if they don't come to the fold. All these things we pray in Jesus' name.